Well, it's a joy for me anyway. I had Brother Matt in school here at Faith, and so to come back and hear him preach and see the things that he's been doing in the ministry over there at First Baptist, of Dwight and for Brother Woodward, and 8, going on 9 years, he was saying there over at Dwight, and kind of over the school and whatever else they throw you at you, I'm sure, as well. And so one thing I know about this guy right here is he is a hard worker. Anything that's going on, he's all in on it. And so we were over there putting bunk beds together. He's directing and he's watching, moving things. And so just a joy to see a young man from this church serving God and doing something for the Lord. And so he's going to preach for us. And I hope you're ready to listen and hear what God has for us. It's all yours, brother.
All right. If you would grab your Bibles, go to 1 Kings chapter number 11. 1 Kings chapter number 11.
You got it all turned on right?
All right, good. I haven't messed up yet. That's a good start. But I'm very thankful for the opportunity to preach. Brother Angel had mentioned something to me while we were putting bunk beds together the other day, and I was very excited about the opportunity, very grateful for that. But I was thinking about it as I was driving over. You know, a lot of faces that have made an investment in my life sitting here tonight, some new faces, I'm sure. But just thank you for the investment. You know, I know with working with young people in the school, you know, sometimes it's frustrating. Working with teenagers, frustrating, working with people, you always wonder, I always look at it and go, was I that bad when I was a teenager? Was I that bad? And I know it can be frustrating, but the investment that you make does make an impact. It does make a difference. It does mold and build the character of the young people that you take part in. I just want to say thank you for that to many of you. 1 Kings chapter number 11, we're going to read the first 10 verses here. I'm going to jump right into it. And I say the same thing every time I preach. I'll talk fast. You listen fast. We'll get done fast. All right? So if I get going too fast and you look confused, I'll slow down. I promise. 1 Kings chapter 11, I'm beginning in verse number 1. It says, "But King Solomon loved many strange women together with the daughter of Pharaoh, woman of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you. For surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh, an abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. And the Lord was very angry with Solomon, because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. And he commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded." Here, if you're familiar with the story of Solomon at all, I'm sure you are. You know, Solomon was a very wise and successful king, and God blessed him very much so throughout his reign. But here we see, as Solomon neared the end of his life, he allowed some things to distract him, allowed some people to distract him more specifically, and some idols begin to creep into his life. And several times it talks about his heart being turned away from God. In verse number 6 it says, and went not fully after the Lord. You know, and the Bible says in verse number 9 here, it says that the Lord was angry with Solomon. And it tells us why. It says, because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel. Now here God expresses his anger and his disappointment with Solomon because he turned away his heart from fully following after God. That's what I want to talk about tonight. Are we wholly following God? You know, as we live our lives, it's easy to give our heart to things. It is. Because, you know, when you get involved in something, you get excited about it. It's easy to put your heart into those things. And, you know, sometimes we get distracted, as Solomon here did. And I brought a big picture to help you out. All right? Because if you're like me, I learn better when there's pictures. Okay? No, don't worry about the words in the book. Look at the pictures. All right? You'll learn way more. But here, Solomon had his heart. And as he gets a little bit farther on, he begins to take pieces of it off. And he begins to give it away. Hold that for me. Thanks. Here, Brother Tom, can you hold this for me? And Solomon begins to tear off pieces of his heart, and he gives it. Oh, you get a big piece. Don't lose it. And he begins to give away, and he no longer has a whole heart to give to God, because he's given pieces of it away to other things and other people. And here it says that God was angry with Solomon. He was upset, not because Solomon did, if you will, some terrible thing, but he turned his heart away from following God, which I guess if you think about it, is pretty bad. But it was something that maybe you wouldn't have seen right off the bat. All of a sudden, pieces begin to go away. And now he doesn't have all of it to give, because other things have taken the place of those things. And you know what? We don't see Solomon turn into this wicked and rebellious king at the end of his life. It just says his heart was turned away. We don't see him just all of a sudden start going. He says he built the idols for his wives. And then it says he took part to some degree, but it doesn't sound like Solomon just jumped off the deep end of the pool. Just all of a sudden his heart turned away from God because he allowed influences and things to take pieces of it. And before you know it, it's not all there anymore. Things have taken its place of God. And if you look up the word idol has the connotation of an object that you worship, but it also has a definition that says anything that usurps the place of God in the hearts of his rational creatures. If you were wondering, the rational creatures is us, hopefully. All right? But anything that we allow to take the place of God in our lives or to become more important to him becomes an idol. And there's a lot of things that can fall into the aspect of an idol, and not all of them are necessarily things. Okay, sometimes the first thing I thought of was ourselves. How many times do we become the idol? We don't do what God wants us to do. We don't serve God the way that we should because we don't want to. And many times that's the one thing that hinders us from serving God is us. We don't serve God the way that we could, or we don't serve God the way that we should because we don't want to. We don't feel like it. It doesn't line up with our plans. And you know what? At that point, you yourself have become the idol in your life. It's true. And we all do it. No one here is exempt from that. Why? Because we allow ourselves to become the idol. You know, I think you can still come to church and be a good church-going member and not be wholeheartedly following God. You can sit in the pew and come to church and listen to the preaching and not have given God all of your heart, not allowing God to have control of it. You know, you could even serve in the ministries of a church and not be wholeheartedly following after God. Now, you may not be very excited about what you're doing, and you may not be as involved in it as you once were because your heart's not in it like it used to be, but you can still do it. And here we see Solomon having his heart turned away as he allowed these idols to take over, as he allowed these pieces to steal away his heart, and now there's no longer a whole heart to give. This is what God wanted. God said, hey, this is what I want. I want all of it. I don't want pieces. I want the whole thing. But Solomon, as he got older, he stopped hearkening to what God had. He said he stopped listening to the commands of God. He stopped hearkening after the things that God instructed him to do. And all of a sudden, he has pieces to give to God rather than the whole thing. I don't know about you, but if you offered me a piece of pie, I'd be happy. But if you said I could have the whole pie, I'd be even more happy. I'll take the whole pie. Now, if you told me I could have the whole pie and then started giving it away to people, I might get a little upset. Because you told me I could have all of it. And then now you're giving it away. That was always my favorite time when Grandma Jessel came up for Thanksgiving, helping her make the apple pies. Because if you helped her, me and Jake would always split one, cut it in half. And he got half and I got half, and it was great. Everybody else can have the pumpkin pies. We'll take the apple pies. But you know what? When you think you're getting one thing, and then all of a sudden it changes and you don't get what you were supposed to get, it makes you a little irritated, it makes you a little bit upset. And here we see God getting angry at Solomon because, hey, you used to follow me wholeheartedly. You used to be fully surrendered to me, and all of a sudden something has changed. Your heart is turned away, and no longer is the relationship the same. Why? Because something has taken the place. Something has jumped in between God and us. And we could go on and talk about many different things that become idols in our life, but you know what your idols are. And they're not the same as mine. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about this. But think about it. What have you let usurp the place of God in your life? I don't know each of your individual situations. You know. You know what God, which you have all of a sudden has just squeezed past. And you know what God's not as important as it. Maybe something has taken the place of your daily devotions. Sometimes that's where it starts. Sometimes it's just something becomes more important than that time you spend alone with God. Something has usurped his place, because that's what you used to give to him. Now all of a sudden something else has taken the time. Maybe it's a ministry that you were once involved in, you're not involved in. I don't know. You tell me. What is the idol? What have you allowed to usurp the place of God in our lives? Look at the book of Psalms, chapter number 9. We're going to look at some areas that God specifically talks about giving our whole heart in. And there's more, but we're just going to look at a few tonight. Psalms, chapter number 9. And I'll give you time to turn there. Please turn in your Bibles if you have it with you. Psalms chapter 9, verse number 1. Areas that God wants our whole heart. In verse number 1, it says, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all of thy marvelous works. You know, God enjoys when we give our whole heart to him in praise. He does. God enjoys it when we praise him. You know, when's the last time we took a time of prayer and used it as a time of praise? Every once in a while, it's good to just stop in your prayer life and stop asking for things and start thanking him for things. It is. It's good for us. It's healthy for us. We encourage our children to say thank you. You do. If they get something, say thank you. In our house, if you don't say thank you, it becomes mine again. Okay? Say thank you. It's not that hard. It's easy. We expect it of our children, but we don't expect it of ourselves to God. Stop and praise him. You know, sometimes when you say thank you, people can tell you don't mean it. Don't you love that when somebody tells you thank you and you can just tell that somebody made him say that? You can just see it all over their face. You know, when you get that Christmas gift, when you were a kid and your mom says, make sure you go say thank you. Thanks. Really, really like that. You can tell it's not heartfelt. Your heart's not in it. It's not. You know, at our brother Caleb used to play the praise game on our bus in the afternoon program. He had a little tennis ball. He wrote the letter P on it, and he carried it in his pocket. And we would be singing, doing whatever in the program. He'd take it out of his pocket, and he would throw it to a kid that was hopefully paying attention. And if you caught it, you had to say something you were thankful for. And if you did, you got a piece of candy, and he'd take the ball back. He'd put it back in his pocket. And he would just randomly start. He would throw the tennis ball on the bus. And his whole thought process was, get these kids to think about being thankful. But because the game didn't have set parameters of when we were going to play, you had to be thinking about it all the time. And you had 3 seconds once you caught the ball. He'd hold his fingers up and he'd start counting down. Why? The whole point, teach them to be thankful. We started playing at our house while we're waiting for dinner. Anytime we get to the dinner table and the food's not on the table, we play the praise game. And it took a little while for the kids to understand the concept of saying things that you're thankful for. First, it started about things we want God to give us. Like, no, that's not thankfulness. That's not praising. Dad, we want a new swing set. No, it's praise. What have you gotten from God that you asked for? Okay, and it took a little while, but all of a sudden the concept sunk in that, hey, we have a lot of things. And the other day I was in the kitchen, and they were at the table, and I hadn't got in there yet. And I heard Jack say, hey, let's play the praise game. And they started playing on their own. And they just went around the table and say this, say, hey, Sadie Kate, what are you thankful for? It's important for us to praise God. You know, and look in Psalm chapter 111. Psalm chapter 111. You know, praising God in song is a great opportunity that we have. But praising God in his house also. Psalm chapter 101 and verse 1. Psalms 111 and verse number 1. I think I said 101. 111. Excuse me. Praising God, it should be a part of our day-to-day lives. It should be something that we enjoy doing. It should be something that be wholehearted and heartfelt. Look in Psalms chapter 111, verse number 1. It says, praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright in the congregation. You know, the praise to God in church should be the easiest place to praise God. Should be. You know, there's some people you don't like to hang around because they're always going to tell you something bad that's going on in their life. And there's other people you like hanging around because they're always saying about the good things that are going on in their life. You know, it should be how it is. Hey, look what God has done here. Look what God has done there. This should be the easiest place that we have to praise. But you know, when you pick up that songbook, as we just did earlier, sing. Sing with all your worth. You say, I can't sing. I don't care. Sing loud anyway. The Bible says, joyful noise unto the Lord. That's what it says. And God will interpret it. It'll sound good to him. Okay? But sing. Sing out. Nothing says wholehearted praise like mumbling through the song. Oh, how I love Jesus. Okay, that's nice. That doesn't sound like wholehearted praise. You know what? I understand. And on a Wednesday night, especially, you're coming back from work. There's a whole lot of things that have happened in the day today. But you know what? When you open that songbook, hey, try to put some things aside and say, hey, I got an opportunity to praise God. I have an opportunity to sing and to say thank you through song to my God. Listen, try to make it a point to praise God. And try to make it a point to praise God to other people about what God has done. Listen, there's a lot of things that God does for you during the day that you don't really realize that he did until you stop and think about it. A lot of little things happen. You know, your land. Brother Pierce was telling me the other day, he works at the Pontiac RV, and he was cutting out a big piece of siding for the side of a camper. And he had laid it all out, and he had drawn it out, and he's told me right before I started cutting, I said, you know, Lord, help me make sure I do this right, because I only have one piece. It's the only piece he had. And he said, right before I started cutting, I looked at it, I had it upside down. I'd lay the pattern down backwards. Something simple. Well, he was talking to me at church one night, and he was so excited. Hey, God did this for me the other day. Why? You get praising God for the little things. It doesn't always have to be these big monumental prayer requests. Sometimes it's the simple things. But stop and say thank you. Praise Him. You know, wholeheartedly giving Him praise goes a long way to helping us. Praising God for the things that He has saved you from. You know, you say, well, God hasn't saved me from anything. Well, He's kept you from something. So in essence, He has saved you from something. We all have something that God has saved us from. And sometimes we forget. Hey, God has kept you from some things. Sometimes there's a situation that's going on that we don't understand, something that's bad or something that's hurtful, but you know it could be worse. Many times it could be. Maybe you should praise God for that it's not as bad as it could have been. You know, even if you get in a car accident, that's pretty bad. Could have been worse. Could have been the car that caught fire and they didn't get out. Could have been another situation. You could have been hurt worse than you were. It always could be worse. So praise God for the fact that it wasn't worse. There's always things to be thankful for. You've got to look for it. You've got to look for opportunities to praise God, but wholeheartedly praising Him. Look in Psalms chapter 119. Psalms chapter 119 and verse number 2. Psalms chapter 119 and verse number 2. Another area we need to be wholehearted to God in is seeking God. Look in verse number 2 of chapter 119. It says, blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with their whole heart. Skip down to verse number 10. With the whole heart have I sought Thee. Oh, let me not wander from Thy commandments. You know, if we're going to wholeheartedly seek after God, it's going to take constant effort. It is. If you're going to put your whole heart into seeking after God, seeking, you're constantly looking for it. You know, the game hide and seek. What's the whole point of the game? I know, it's really hard. Find the other people who are hiding, right? Seeking. You know, nothing's worse than playing hide and seek and the person who's supposed to be seeking is not looking. You ever had that happen to you before? You're playing hide and seek as a kid and all of a sudden, like, they're not even looking, are they? And they're sitting on the couch watching TV. They went in the house to get a drink. They're no longer playing. What good did that do? Now, if you're going to seek God, it takes constant effort. It takes constant work. Listen, say, how do we seek after God? Start with your devotions. Hey, every day waking up with the mindset of what does God have for me from His Word today? What can I get from God this morning? If you do it in the evening, what can I get from God tonight? Listen, it's easy for our daily devotions to become routine. It is. Because when you do the same thing over and over again, it becomes habit. It just does. And all of a sudden you're reading it, but you're not getting anything from it. No, sometimes we just got to stop and put the reset button. Hey, what does God have for me today? Stop and pray before you start reading. Say, God, show me something this morning. Show me something. How about church? You know, if we're going to wholeheartedly seek God, when we come to the house of God, we should be prepared to receive something from Him. We should. Many times we show up to church. But are you here? Mentally and physically. Is your mind here? Is your heart here? When you walk through the doors, are you prepared to receive whatever it is that God has for you tonight? I don't know what you need. God does. Ask Him to speak to you. Ask Him to talk to you before you get here. And then when you get here, be intent on listening. The other day, a preacher was fussing at somebody in church. They were falling asleep. He said, maybe I'll preach longer so some people can catch up on their sleep tonight. You know, listen. If we're going to come to the house of God, let's come to the house of God looking for something, seeking something. Listen, coming to church shouldn't be just something I do because I have nothing else better to do on Sundays and Wednesdays. No, I'm coming because I need something. I'm coming to this place because I need to hear from God. I'm coming to this place because I need God to help me with a certain situation. I'm coming to church because I need God to speak to me. I need help. And if I don't get to the house of God, I'm not going to get what I need. How about in the area of decisions? Are we seeking God when it comes to decisions in our life? Now, there's so many things, so many decisions that are made. Are we asking God His opinion at all? It can be simple decisions. It doesn't have to be big life-changing ones. Am I asking God? Am I seeking what God wants? How about prayer? Prayer is a good way to seek after God. You know what? I've come to the understanding that a lot of times when you grow up in church, you pray because you were told to pray as a kid. It was just taught to you. Just like reading your Bible was hopefully your parents tried to help you develop the habit of reading your Bible. They tried to instill in you the habit of praying. And if you're not careful, you pray simply out of habit. You don't actually pray expecting God to do anything. I'm asking, but I don't really expect anything to happen. No, I'm praying with the realization that He has the ability to change whatever I'm asking Him for. He has the ability to get involved. Hebrews chapter number 4 and verse number 16, a familiar passage. Flip over there real quick. Hebrews chapter number 4. And verse number 16. Hebrews 4, verse number 16. We have the opportunity to talk to and get things from an almighty God, but do we wholeheartedly seek after him in prayer? Do we really believe that he will change our situation? Do we really believe that he will assist us in the area that we're praying over? Look at verse 16. It says, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Listen, God wants to help. Are you asking? Look at 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter number 1. We're going to look at an example of this type of prayer. 1 Samuel chapter number 1. We're going to interrupt in the story of Hannah here at the temple. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse number 10. We're going to read a few verses here. I want you to see it. In verse number 10, it says, "And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto." Here Hannah says, I poured my soul out before the Lord in prayer. I highly doubt Hannah had not prayed for this thing before. But she reached the point where she said, I really, really need this. I really, really want this. And she got to the point where she just put it all out there. Say, God, I need this from you. There's a difference between praying and getting to the point where you're desperate. And you're pouring out your whole heart to God saying, God, I need this. I desire this from you. The Bible talks about prayer and fasting. Jesus teaches his disciples, hey, this cometh not forth but by prayer and fasting. There are some situations, there are some things that God has put in our lives for the specific purpose of getting us to him. Getting us to him in prayer. He wants to draw us closer. Sometimes the only way to do that is to put you in a situation where you can't fix it. And you need somebody else who can. And all of a sudden you're looking for answers and finally you look up and say, hey, there's the answer. And God says, hey, now pray. Now come seek my face about the issue. We wholeheartedly give it to him in prayer and let him handle it. Pray, let him have it, and leave it alone. We're good at meddling with things. We like to pray and then we like to pick at it. You know that scab your mom told you not to pick? We pray like that. All right, God, here you can have it. God, you can have it, I promise. We just won't leave it alone. God says, no, I'll take care of it. In my time, I'll deal with it. I'll take care of what needs to be taken care of. Give it to me and let me deal with it. Wholeheartedly giving it to him. Look in Psalm chapter 119. I was told to be done 8 or 810. It's going to be closer to 810. Psalm 119 and verse number 34. Psalms 119 and verse number 34. Another area to wholeheartedly give or wholeheartedly follow God. Psalms 119 and verse number 34. It says, "Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart." Here, it's very simple. God, if you give me the understanding to see it in your word, I'll do it. I'll do it with all my heart. Now, we don't have time for smorgasbord-type Christianity. We don't. If you show it to me, and you show me what I'm supposed to do, I'll do it. Not only will I do it, I'll put my whole heart behind it, and I'll get after it. I don't like doing things halfway. I'm just not. If I'm going to get involved in it, let's go, let's get it done. Let's not piddle around. Let's not waste time. If we're going to do something, let's get in, let's get going as fast as we can. Let's get this thing done. All right, this is my attitude. And you know what? It needs to be our attitude towards the things of God. All right, God, you showed it to me. Let's get moving. Let's get it done. Let's take care of it. Let's get the business handled. Let's change some things. But a lot of times we like to drag our feet. We don't want to wholeheartedly get behind it because we see it and we go, oh, that means I have to change something. Sometimes it's a lot of things. God says, no, this will help you. I gave it to you for a reason. And everything in this book is applicable to us. It is. God didn't waste his time when he wrote certain passages. He put everything in this book for a specific reason. That means if he put it there on purpose, that means it's there for us for a reason. But when we see it, when the preacher preaches from the pulpit and points something out in Scripture for us to change, are we doing anything about it? Or are we kind of sluggishly moving in that general direction? You know, it's kind of like when you tell the teenager, do you want him to go move something heavy? We're getting into our work weeks at football camp, and the teenagers come and help us. And a lot of times they get the grunt jobs. And sometimes you tell them, hey, I need you to go help me move this. And they're like, oh, I have to go help move this. Now, when we get into football camp time, I don't walk slow. My dad walks fast. I learned from him. It's his fault. I get in a hurry because I have a lot of things to do. Brother Brian keeps me updated on our list and just gets bigger. So I'm walking. I'm in a hurry. And I look around and go, where'd that kid go? And he's back there walking. Like, what are you doing? We got stuff to do. Well, I really don't want. Come on. We'll just get it over. It won't take us that long. Just come on. Hurry up. I'll help you. We'll get it done. That's how we serve God sometimes. God says, hey, here's what I want you to do. All right, if I have to. God says, no, wholeheartedly, get involved in it, get it done. Jump on the thing that God has given to you to do. Why is it so important? What's the big deal about wholehearted service? Why does it matter if I give God all of it or if I give God a piece of it? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. I'm sure a verse you're all familiar with. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 19. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. And verse number 19, what's the big deal about giving God my whole heart? Here it says, what? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. He bought it, you're just borrowing it. That's why it's important, because it ain't yours. It's not. He paid for it. Technically, it's his. So you're just borrowing what God has already paid for. It's the least you could do is wholeheartedly serve him. The least you could do is wholeheartedly give yourself to the things of God. The least you could do is wholeheartedly seek after the things of God. That's the very least that we could do, is to serve him and to go after it. Listen, God's not asking too much of us. I think many times we get that mentality. Well, God's just asking too much. Oh, really? Stop and think about Calvary and then say that again. Go ahead. Go ahead. Read through the gospel account of Calvary. Go ahead. Read through it and then tell me that God's asking too much. It's okay to say God's asking too much if God never did anything for you. That's not the case. We have too often the mindset that God owes us rather than we owe him. And we owe him so much. You owe him that. And when you just breathe, you owe him that one too. And the heart that's beating in your chest, you owe him that one too. We go on and on. We owe him everything. But we act like we don't have to wholeheartedly give him anything. Listen, God's not asking too much of us. He bought it. He paid for it. All he's asking for is a return on his investment, if you will. That's why it's important for us to give all of our heart. That's why it's important. Listen, another reason it's important is if you don't give it all, this is what happens. Listen, God says, I want this. I want you to give me everything. But if I say, I'm going to stop and think about it. I'm going to hang on to this for just a little bit. Before you know it, this is all you have left. Because in the meantime, while you were thinking about giving it to him, other things came in and took priority. It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are. It's easy to let it slip. Solomon was an old man at the point when his heart turned away from God. It's not just for young. You know, a lot of times that young people hear this, give your heart to God. And that's important. It is. But old people need it too. And middle-aged people need it too. Why? Because what happens is there's so many things in the world that pull at us. There are. There's so many distractions, so many things that grasp at our attention. God says, I want it all. I want your whole heart. I want you to give it all to me. Make me the preeminent person. Look in Psalm chapter 139. Psalms chapter 139. We need to constantly be keeping tabs on this thing of our wholehearted following of God because it's easy to let it slip. It's easy to let it fall by the wayside. It's easy to give pieces away, and before you know it, God doesn't have it all anymore. Psalm chapter 139, verse number 23. It says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Hey, sometimes we're just going to have to stop and say, all right, God, it's time to look. And then let me know. Look at it, God. Tell me what's missing. Tell me where I'm not. Tell me what piece I've given away so I can give it back. Listen, the Bible talks about in Romans chapter 12 a living sacrifice. Guess what? If the sacrifice is alive and it can climb onto the altar, it can just as easily climb off the altar. And if we are a living sacrifice unto God, just as easy as we give our heart to God, we can just as easily pick it up back off the altar and put it back. God says, no, you have to leave it there. And if we're not careful, if we don't constantly stop and revisit this area, we're going to find ourselves missing pieces. And before we know it, the things that we used to enjoy about serving God, we don't like anymore. That's a good telltale sign. You know, that ministry that you've been involved with, that you really enjoy, all of a sudden, just that, yeah, it's not what it used to be. The kids are just so terrible. The people who are involved in it, and you start blaming, all of a sudden, whoa, it's probably me. All of a sudden, something else is pulling at it. God doesn't have what he used to have. All of a sudden, what I used to love about it is not what I love anymore. Time to stop and say, all right, God, check it out. Check out my heart. Find out what's wrong so I can fix it. If God points it out to you and you don't do anything about it, that's pretty foolish. What's the point of asking if you're not going to do anything about it? Nothing is more frustrating than someone asking you how to do something and ignoring you. Have you ever had somebody on the job ask you how to do something? Like, hey, can you show me how to do this? I don't know how to do it. You walk over there, you give them the time of day, you explain it to them in detail, and you walk away, and 20 minutes later they come back, hey, can you show me that again? You walk over like, didn't you listen? That's not what I showed you. That's not what I explained to you to do. Well, after you walked away, I figured this out. Then what'd you ask me for? What was the purpose of asking my opinion if you were just going to go do your own thing anyway? What was the point? God says, listen, hey, ask him to look and then do something about it. Look in Psalm chapter 51. Psalm chapter 51. And I'll wind it down after this. Psalm chapter 51 and verse number 10. It says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Yeah, I need God to look, but sometimes I need God to create a new spirit. Sometimes I need God to clean up the mess I made. Because sometimes when I get to this point, the things that I've given it to are hard to get it back. And sometimes when you get it back, it's not the same as what it once was. It's true. Not everything that you give away can be easily gotten back. It's not always that simple. Sometimes you're going to have to say, God, I need some help here. I made a mess. I need you to help me get the pieces back so I can give you all of it. You know, if you live down south, I've read a couple articles about alligators getting a hold of people recently. You know, when an alligator gets a hold of something, even though you may get the piece back it got a hold of, it ain't going to be the same. You say, what do you mean? Well, there's a lot of teeth in that mouth. And when he gets a hold of it, he changed it. He said, well, he can do plastic surgery. You're right. That's a lot of work. And it'll look almost like new. Yeah, it probably will. But it still ain't the same. Some things you play with, you don't get it all back. Some things you play with, God has to do a work to change it so that he can have this again. Because what we gave it to didn't let go. And what we gave it to took the hand of God to fix because we put ourselves there. God says, hey, I'm willing to help you. This is in Psalm chapter 51, this is David coming back after the sin with Bathsheba, okay? This is David coming back to God saying, God, I realize they messed up. Listen, how come David was a man after God's own heart? If you look back in 1 Kings, you see Solomon being blessed because of what David had done. And it says that David fully followed God and Solomon had turned away. What was the difference? David messed up, but David knew he messed up and David did something about it. He didn't just stop with the fact that I messed up, I made a mistake. No, I messed up, I made a mistake. Now let's fix it. Amen. And here's the person who can fix it. He went to God and said, listen, God, I need some help. I done made a mess and I can't clean it up. And God says, all right, I'll help you. I don't know what God created the clean heart, but he'll take the wholehearted back. Listen, God wants us to give it all to him. And he'll help us along the way. But sometimes we get so distracted with other things. And we go to God and say, God, isn't this good enough? God says, no. It's not. Would it have been good enough to send a half of Jesus? No. He had to send all of Jesus. If you would have only sent a half of Jesus, you would have got a half of salvation. No, God says, I gave you everything. Can't give me it all. This is what you want to give me? And you want me to be happy about it? This is what I'm asking for. Now, where's your heart tonight? Did God used to have this? And now he's got this? Or maybe you've never given him all of it. You're still hanging on to it. I don't know. Sometimes as our life changes, we think, well, I gave God my whole heart. Yeah, but where's it at now? Maybe that was 5 years ago. Maybe that was 10 years ago. Sometimes things change. You say, well, I can't do what I used to do for God. God didn't ask you what you could do for him. God says, give it to me. I'll do something with it. And then we get sidetracked with, well, I can't. You're right, you can't, but God can. So just give it to him. Let him do something with it. It doesn't matter where we are in life. If we're not careful, we're going to end up with this instead of with this. God says, this is what I need. This is what I want. Give it to me. Let me have it. Let me do something with it. Where are we at this evening? Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I'm done. Where are you at tonight? Where's your heart? Sometimes we just need to stop and check. Stop and say, search me, God. Where's my heart at? And help me clean it up sometimes and get it back to where it needs to be. I see the pianist is coming to the piano. I have a word of prayer. And if the Lord spoke to you, you come during the invitation. Therefore, Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be in your house. Lord, I ask you to help us tonight, Lord, to look at our heart, Lord, to make sure that we're giving it all to you. Lord, we ask you to just bless and help the invitation. We ask these things in your name. Amen. Where are you at tonight? Does God have it all? Or have you taken some of it back?
You can look up this way. Thank you, Brother Matt, for the good message. Black and white, bottom of the shelf, right for each one of us to get tonight. And I knew that's how it was going to be. And, you know, sometimes I was thinking about this week. Sometimes we send our kids off to camp and I think, man, there's sometimes I need to go to camp. I need messages just like that because I need my heart just that reset button pushed again. We got a lot of stuff that pulls and pushes and, you know, I remember hearing a preacher say he was talking to a lady and she said, well, under the circumstances, he said, ma'am, get out from underneath those circumstances because God can do something for you. And sometimes I think that's what we do. We throw this is in the way and this is in the way. And God, no, I can help you, but you got to give it to me. Such a great illustration. Applies for any age, really, honestly, tonight for each one of us. But where's our heart? Sometimes we just get wrapped up, or we get wrapped up in what they've got going on. We lose track sometimes. I thought sometimes I need camp. Get me out of it for a week just so I can get things going where it needs to be. And so good message. Thank you, Brother Matt, tonight for the message God's speaking to you to give to us. And so